All right, good. All right, if you have any questions about Russia, you can find me. I'll be around here for another month or so, so be glad to answer any of your questions. If you want to come visit us, we can always talk about that, too. It's not too hard to get there, and really, it's not a bad place to live if you if you're not too worried about modern conveniences or whatever. I mean, it is an industrialized country. It's an advanced country. It's just not as advanced as we are. You can talk to Alan Miller. He's been there. Travis Rose. He's been there. Who else came with us? Cindy came on that trip, and Luke was there, of course. Yeah, Luke was there, and Brother Angel was there. And we just had a real good time. They came over. This is kind of where I want to start on my message today. Brother Angel brought a group 2 summers ago to visit us. They wanted to see Ukraine. They wanted to see Russia, and so we took them on a grand tour. He brought I think there was 7 or 8 people in the group. There was Brother Angel, Luke, Travis, and Alan. Cindy came. I forget who else was in your group. That's right, the McDonald's, okay. And we took them to Kiev, Ukraine, showed them around town, got a chance to visit some missionaries there. We took them up to Moscow, showed them around Moscow, kind of gave them a whirlwind tour. And then we went to Oryol. We spent a day or two there, had some services, had a picnic. And then we went on down to Simferopol, which is in Crimea, the southern part of Ukraine. And there was a youth conference down there. Brother Angel was preaching. And the missionary down there, David Sloan, he asked me if I would address one afternoon session of young people. And I prayed about what I should preach to these young people about. The thought kept coming to me that most of these Ukrainian kids that I would be speaking to did not come from a stable Christian home. Most of them did not even have a dad living at home. And as a father of 4 children who've grown up and decided to serve the Lord with their lives, I thought it might be beneficial to them for me to give them what I called advice from a godly dad. Now, here's what I told them. I said, I had them bow their heads and asked them how many of them had what I would call a godly dad. Now, I put the bar low enough that I can reach it. So by a godly dad, I mean a dad who goes to church, he's saved, he tries to walk with God, and he wants God's will for his life and family. And I asked them, how many of you have a dad like that? Almost nobody raised their hand. These were kids, let's see, there was probably in that session about 90 kids, I think. They came from all over Ukraine, really from every part of the country of Ukraine. There were some kids there from Belarus. There was a few kids there from Russia. Some kids from Moldova, I think, and maybe even a couple from Romania, I forget. But they were from all over, and almost none of them had what I would call a godly dad. Now, I'm pretty sure that let me just do this. Let me have you just bow your head, close your eyes for just a minute. If you have what I have just described as a godly dad, I'd like you to raise your hand. He's saved, he goes to church, and basically tries to seek God's will for his life. All right, you can put your hands down. That's almost everybody. You can look back up here. That's almost everybody. But I thought that the advice that I gave to those young people would be a good thing to talk about here, because a lot of you have been in college. If it's your first year in college, you're away from your mom and dad for the first time. If you've been in college for a couple of years, you've been away from your mom and dad for a couple of years. So I think it would be beneficial for me to share with you a few points here about the kind of advice that a godly dad would give a young person who's trying to live for the Lord. Number one, be obedient to parents, and under that comes all God-given authority. Be obedient to your authority. Now, up until now, your parents, up until you came to college, your parents have been your authority. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Up until you came to college, your parents were your authority. We know that when you leave home, when you come, you start your own independent life. To a certain extent, you're still under the authority of your parents. But as much as you are living on your own and providing for yourself, you have an expanded say in the decisions you make in your life. If your parents are paying the bills for you, they still call the shots. We have what's called the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules, okay? So if your parents are still paying your bills or paying part of your bills, I mean, there's still an authority in your life. As long as authority does not tell you to violate the Bible, you need to obey authority willingly and happily. That would be the first advice I would give you as a godly dad. If I was talking to my children, which I am, I got a few of mine in here. If I was talking to my children, I would tell them, just as you obey your parents when you're living in their home, you are to obey your authority. As long as authority does not tell you to violate the Bible, you obey willingly and happily. Now that means authority that you have authority in the church, you have a pastor, you have authority in the college, you have administration here in the college, you have in your room, I guess you have room leads that are supposed to have some sort of say over what you do, or at least they write the fines up for you. But the authority that God has put in your life, you are to obey. If you will learn to obey authority, you will avoid an awful lot of problems. If you can learn to obey authority without griping, I can't stand griping. I mean, if you got to do something, why not just be happy about it? Don't gripe. Obey authority. That includes traffic laws. One thing I often tell my children is don't drive so fast. Obey the stop signs and the traffic lights obey the traffic laws. Obey authority. That comes under Romans 13, chapter 1. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. That includes policemen. That includes any authority that's in your life. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Titus 3, 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. So the first advice I would give you, that I would call advice from a godly dad, is be obedient to authority. Number two, and this I think is very important for you to start to do at your age, is make the Bible your final authority. Don't believe something just because somebody says it. I know they teach that here. I know that's a foundational principle, but you need to get that in your own soul. Don't believe something just because somebody says it. Doesn't matter who it is. I mean, I have the utmost respect for Brother Gomez. I love him. I believe he preaches and teaches straight. But I told my kids, don't believe something just because Brother Gomez says it. Now, I know I trust Brother Gomez because he always says, I heard him say it last night. He says, if I can't show you that what I'm preaching is from the Bible, then you don't have to accept it. But don't accept anything just because somebody says it. We think about the church at Berea. The brethren, Acts chapter 17, the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. I don't know if you understand this or not, but the title Maverick means something. It means someone who has a self-motivation, someone who doesn't just follow the crowd like a sheep, someone who thinks for themselves. A maverick has an independent spirit. Now, if you are truly a maverick, then you need to think for yourself, making the Bible your final authority. Taking everything that you're taught and running it through the filter of the Bible and saying, is that really true or is it not? Because in almost every case, what they're teaching here does come from the Bible. And if you can see that it's in the Bible, then you've got a good foundation and it's good practice to think for yourself. You are responsible to God for what you believe and what you decide. You're responsible. You can't say, well, okay, I was wrong about that. I got into false doctrine, but that's just because that's what they taught me at that college. God is not going to accept that. You are responsible to God for what you believe and what you decide. So you've got to make the Bible your final authority. I remember when I was in college, We weren't necessarily, I mean, they kind of, there was a lot of situations where you were, where we were told, Brother Swarga, if, you know, if your bus captain tells you to jump off a bridge, you just salute and jump. Don't ask questions. I didn't want my kids to be taught like that. If your bus captain tells you to break the law, stuff 25 kids in your car because you didn't have a bus a week before, you know what? You're responsible to God for that. You can say, no, thank you, Mr. Bus Captain. I'm not going to break the law because the Bible teaches me I'm not to do that. Well, bless God, you're rebellious against your bus captain. The maverick spirit. The maverick spirit says, I'm responsible to God and the Bible is my final authority. You can say no even when someone pressures you to do something you don't need to do. That's what I see as the maverick spirit. Romans 14:12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Individual responsibility. One of the reasons I felt comfortable about sending my kids to this college is because I know they believe in individual and personal responsibility. We're not trying to make a bunch of mind-numbed, I know I just want to be a sheep, blah, 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 but that's not, okay? That's a bus song. That's not the way you live your life. You want to be one of Jesus' sheep, you want to follow him, and not a sheep that follows after a man just because a man says something. Make the Bible your final authority. Number three, prepare to start your independent life. That's a big problem in Russia. You go to Russia, you talk to young people there, you say, what are you planning to do with your life? Well, I'm planning to live with my parents. Well, what about when you get married? Oh, they got room for us. You talk to the parents. What do you expect your kids to do? Well, I expect they'll continue to live with us. What about when they get married? Oh, we got plenty of room. I preach this a lot in Russia. Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife and start your own independent life. You need to prepare for that. I mean, if your parents are taking care of you now, fine, that's great. But there should be some yearning inside to be independent. Not that you don't love your parents. If you study carefully the story of the Tower of Babel, why did God scramble the languages? Oh, it's because they were building a tower. Oh, it's because they had false religion. If you study that chapter carefully, you will find that God told them, now when you get off the ark, I want you to be fruitful and multiply, and I want you to fill the earth. God wanted people to leave their parents when they came of age and go away and start their own independent life. He wanted them to go to all the different places all around the earth. Now, if you read carefully what they said they were going to do at the Tower of Babel, they said, let's make us a city and a name and a tower, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. They did not want to leave their hometown. That's what God was upset about. He commanded them to disperse. And they said, no, we're not going to disperse. We're going to build a city, we're going to build a tower, and we're all going to stay right here. And God said, I'll fix that. And he scrambled the languages. And if you read carefully, you'll find all the different languages and all the different family groups, and they dispersed all over the world. God said, if you're not going to do it just because I told you, then I'll make it happen some other way. Be independent. Grow up. Realize that there will be no running back home. One of my kids called me and said, I have a tough time in college. I just can't make it here. It's so mean to me. I won't tell him you called and told me that. Now, a lot of parents would be tempted to say, oh, my poor sweet baby. Oh, come back home. I'll take care of you. I want my kids to grow up, be independent. I want them to tough it out. I want them to tell me everything's fine. I'm okay, Mom and Dad. As much as you can, pay your own way. I know the job situation right now is not what it has been in the past, but as much as you can, pay your own way. That's part of growing up, becoming independent. You need to You need to reach for that. That needs to be a goal. Now, when I left home to become independent, pay my own way, I was 16 years old. My brother was at Bible college. I was living in a good Christian home. I was a senior in high school, and I was just before my senior year. My brother called me and said, I was going to public high school. We didn't have any Christian schools where I was living back then. My brother in Bible college called me and said, if you want to come and spend your senior year in a Christian high school, I've got a place you can stay, and I've got a job where you can work and pay your own way. And I thought, great. I wanted to be independent. I talked to my mom and dad about it. They said, that sounds like a good opportunity. They put their blessing on it. And when I was 16, from the time I was 16, I paid my own way. I was independent. Now, I told my kids that as they were growing up. And my oldest son, Dave, when he was about 17, he said, you know what, Dad, I think it's time for me to go start my own independent life. Well, I didn't really think he was ready. And we sat down, we talked about it, we made a plan, but I was glad that when he was 17, he told me he was ready to go. Alan, I think, was about, I think it was during that Russia trip two summers ago. Alan came up to me and he said, Dad, I think it's time for me to go. And I was glad he felt that way, but I didn't think he was quite ready yet. We sat down, we talked about it, we made a plan, but I was glad that they had that in their heart. I wanted them to have that, and I want each and every one of you to have that in your heart. That's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean you hate your parents. It doesn't mean you're ungrateful for the home that you grew up in. That's natural. It's normal. If you don't have that, you need to start working on that. You should have a desire to have an independent life. Now, my kids, at the time they told me, they thought it was time to go. I told them I thought it would be best for them to stay with me. It was a unique situation of life's opportunity that I had when I was 16. But I wanted them to be chomping at the bit to go out on their own. I didn't want them to hate being home with me. I didn't want them to have a bad attitude, but I wanted them to say, I love you, Mom and Dad, but I'm looking forward so much to being on my own serving the Lord. And that's pretty much the way it's been, and I'm grateful for that. All right, be obedient to authority. Make the Bible your final authority. Prepare to start your independent life. And number four, don't touch. Don't touch each other. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Genesis 39, talking about Joseph. She caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. He left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. You've heard this before. I just want to say it again. I want to make it plain. Guys, don't touch the girls and don't let them touch you. Girls, don't touch the guys and don't let them touch you. I teach this in Russia, and they've never heard this before. It's like they have no, whatever moral structure they ever had, it was just completely erased back in the communist days. I tell the young ladies, I said, a man does not have the right to touch a woman until he has married her and committed to provide her with food, clothing, and housing until she dies. Girls, unless a guy has married you and committed to provide everything you're going to eat, everything you're going to wear, every place you're going to live until the day you die, then he may not touch you. That's Bible principle. And if you lower the standard to anything less than that, then you're cheapening yourself. And you are, and yes, young lady, you are worth that much. If you let a guy touch you before all that is settled, you are cheap. And you're worth more than that. If he thinks you ought to touch before all that is settled, he is not serious about staying with you. He is not worth it, and he will leave you when you need him the most. I tell them that in Russia, and they just look at me with their eyes bugged out and their mouth open, because they're like, well, how in the world are we ever going to get married if we don't let the guys touch us? I tell them, you know what? If you girls wouldn't let the guys touch you, they would respect you, and they would learn that they'd have to treat you better in order to get you. So the basic principle is don't touch. When you're in high school, you should not have had any particularly close boy-girl relationships. You should never have any close relationship with anyone who does not love Jesus, but now that you're in college, it's time to start that process. I have on my notes here, so many of you guys are idiots. I was trying to decide today whether I was going to preach one of the sermons that my wife wrote for me or whether I should have my girls work on it. The girls have both put together a sermon. The title is Stupid Guys. But you know, you're here at Bible College. You're here at Bible College with the best selection of prospects you're ever going to have. Get to know some of them, guys. I wasn't that stupid when I was in college. Look around. Don't be so immature to think that a casual freshman or sophomore date has to be a serious commitment. It's a friendly thing to take a girl out on a date. It doesn't mean if you ask some girl to go to the banquet with you that this is a lifelong commitment. It's a friendly thing. It's a gentlemanly thing. I mean, come on, don't be stupid. Get to know who these girls are. Talk to them. Take them on activities. Buy them pizza. Buy them pop. Get a few of your friends to get together for a table game with a few girls. I mean, if you're too scared to do one-on-one, just get three or four of your friends and get three or four of their friends and just have a good time. You need to get to know somebody in your first few years of college so you can decide which one to seriously pursue later on in your college career. Does that make any sense? It does make sense. You need to understand it does make sense. You know, if you read the Christmas story, you know what the angels told the shepherds? They told them, go to the place and ye shall find the babe. Now that's advice from heaven. They came to the place and they found the babe. That's what it says. That's in the Bible. Now some of you guys need to understand, you have come to the place. Now you need to start working on finding the babe, okay? Providence Baptist College girls should not have to go to banquets and activities alone. Be nice enough to take one of them. All right? Don't date anyone that is not the kind of person you would marry, but that doesn't mean that every contact is a lifelong commitment. Now, I did teach my kids, it's best to date and marry someone who comes from a similar cultural background. I told my kids not to ever consider marrying or dating a Russian. Now, maybe that's just me, but it's difficult enough to get along with somebody for an entire lifetime. Don't make it any harder by bringing in cultural differences if you can avoid that. Now, I know you have to seek God's will. I'm not saying that that's I think that's just advice from a godly dad. Look for somebody that has a similar cultural background that you have. Somebody asked me one time, well, your kid's going to grow up and marry Russians. I said, no, I'm going to advise him against that. Well, why is that? Well, look, a Russian has a whole different idea about how kids should be brought up. A Russian has a whole different idea from American on how to keep a house. A Russian thinks it's perfectly fine for him to bring five or six of his guy friends over to the house without any advance notice and have them stay for 3 or 4 days. And he figures the wife is just going to take care of everything. And he expects that. That's their culture. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying most of you would not be comfortable with that. All right, I probably said enough about that. But that's advice that I gave my children. Number 5. This is what I call minimum daily requirements. Well, back in my day, you know the cereal box? How they got the listing of all the, how many vitamins and minerals it's got in the cereal? Now back in my day, they used to call that list the minimum daily requirement. It was very strict. It was very dogmatic. You have to have exactly this many milligrams of vitamin C and exactly this many milligrams of calcium and all this stuff. It was the minimum daily requirements. We knew that we had to have that nutrition in order for everything to be healthy. Nowadays, they've kind of, since everything is so liberal and wishy-washy these days, they've kind of backed off on that terminology. Now they call it the recommended daily allowance. It's like, if that's what you want, that's what we recommend. I believe in minimum daily requirements. That applies to the Christian life. There are things without which you are not a good Christian. I'm going to give you a list of them. Without these things, you are bad, okay? Read your Bible every day. That's a minimum daily requirement. I know you've heard that 1,000 times. Well, this is 1,001. It cannot be overstated because it is minimum daily requirements. You say, well, I come to Bible college, I take all these classes, and I'm involved in all these ministries and everything. If you don't have vitamin C every day, it doesn't matter what else you got coming in, you're not going to be healthy. And if you don't have read your Bible every day, you're not going to be a healthy Christian. And believe me, I know Bible college is a place where you can come and get just as backslidden as the devil. I know a lot of Bible college students that do not read their Bible every day. And if you don't do that, you are not a good Christian. It applies for the rest of your life. You know, vitamin C is good for you, but you know, you can go 3-4 years without it, right? No, you won't be healthy. You've got to have an intake every day of the vitamins and minerals, and you've got to have an intake every day of the Bible. Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. That's part of your minimum daily requirements. You say, oh, that's elementary stuff. That's Sunday school stuff. We know all that. Yeah, but do you do it? It's an easy place not to pray every day. You've got to make a point to pray every day. It's habits you're building now that are going to carry with you all the way through the rest of your life in ministry, so you better get it settled. That's a minimum daily requirement. Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. Number three, tell the gospel story to some lost person whenever you have the opportunity and go out soul winning at a regular scheduled time. I put that all together because that's called being soul conscious. You ought to have a regular scheduled time, because if you don't, you probably won't do it. But just because you have a regular scheduled time doesn't mean that you shouldn't be aware of every opportunity that you have to give the gospel to some lost person. All right, so be soul conscious. Tell the gospel story to the lost every time you have the opportunity, and have a regular scheduled soul winning time. The fourth minimum daily requirement, tithe and offering. That's minimum daily requirement. Well, I'm a Bible college student. I got my first job and I don't make that much money, and I just can't afford to tithe. That's right, you can't afford not to. I think sometimes the Lord looks at your tithe and says, oh, I guess he just wants to make 10 times that. I mean, if you throw a dollar in there because you figure that's all you got, well, God just may be figuring that you want to make $10 a week. Somebody challenged me one time, why don't you tithe on what you'd like to make and see God bless you? And I tried that and it worked. How about that? The Bible works. What do you know? You've got to tithe on the gross before taxes, and you got to give an offering. You've got to give something above the tithe as an offering, or you're robbing God. Read what it says in Malachi. How do you rob God in not giving tithes and offerings? That means, boy, I tell you, have y'all ever met Mark Sigstad, missionary in Nigeria? He's got a fantastic story about a time when he was Christian layman. And he was trying to live for the Lord, but he was real busy doing lots of stuff and trying to make some money. And he came home one day, and his house was burnt to the ground. I mean, it just nothing but foundation there, and smoke coming up, nothing there. And his mailbox was standing there by the curb, and he opened up, and there was 2 pieces of mail in his mailbox. His tithe statement from the church for the previous year, and his W-2 from work for the income that he made the previous year. And he looked at the two and he said, well, I know why God took my house. That's a minimum daily requirement. You've got to tithe and give an offering. If you're not doing that, you're not going to be a healthy Christian. And a minimum daily requirement, I put this in because I think this is a minimum requirement. You say, now wait, yeah, okay, I read my Bible, I pray, I'll tell the gospel and I'll tithe. But this one, I'm not so sure you can demand this, Brother O. The last one is serve God all your life. Now that does not mean you have to be in full-time Christian service. But it does mean that a minimum requirement is that you must serve God all your life. You got to serve God all your life. You don't have to be in full-time service, but I think that every young person needs to go to Bible college enough to be at least a well-equipped layman to serve in a fundamental church somewhere. The kind who teaches Sunday school, works a bus route, sings in a choir, and stands by the preacher. If you're not in full-time Christian service, if God doesn't call you to that, that's fine. But you need to be at least what I just said. A well-equipped layman who is actively serving in a fundamental Baptist church somewhere. If you're not doing that, then you have not met your minimum requirements. God expects that from you. Your parents expect that from you. I expect no less from any of my kids. If that's the bare minimum. Anything less than that and you are not right with God. Give God a chance. One reason to come to Bible college, if you're not sure you're called to Christian full-time service, it's good to come to Bible college with the attitude that you're giving God a chance. God, if you want to call me, I'm available. Here I am at Bible college. This is a good place to be called. If you want to call me, I'm here. Give God a chance to call you. Be willing always to go anywhere and do anything. But don't become a preacher just because someone else wants you to. Now let me quick tell you a story of my oldest son who got married Saturday. He and I were we had to take a trip up to Moscow to do some business. It's a 5-hour train trip. We're sitting on the train. I said, David, I want to talk to you about your life and your future. What are you planning to do? He says, well, I know I have to go to Bible college for at least 4 years. So, well, let's talk about that. I said, that's not necessarily a requirement. I said, but let's, because I knew he was not called to preach at that time. God never did call him to preach. But he came to Bible college. I told him, I think you ought to go to Bible college for 2 years. I said, after 2 years, we'll get together, we'll talk about what God's doing in your life, we'll decide what comes next. I thought he was going to be a computer programmer. He studied computer programming on his own over in Russia. When he came over here, he worked at Miracle for a couple weeks, but the first real job that he had when he came here was he was programming computers up where Radix worked. He was making like $15 an hour programming computers. It was a pretty cushy job. Did that for several months. And I thought he'd go to Bible college for 2 years and then he would go to some secular college, study computer programming and be a successful computer programmer with all the minimum daily requirements of living for the Lord and serving in a local independent church somewhere. He came here, went to Bible college, and Brother Gomez asked him if he would work on maintenance staff at the church. He called me and said, Dad, I'm so excited. Brother Gomez wants me to work on maintenance staff at the church. I said, well, you got a really good job programming computers. Don't you think you ought to keep that? He said, well, I don't know. He says, I really like the idea of working for Brother Gomez on maintenance staff at the church. I said, well, you need to pray about that. I said, I'm not going to tell you what you should do. It's your life, your decision. You're going to have to do what God wants you to do. He took a substantial pay cut, I think, started working for Brother Gomez on maintenance staff at the church. He went to Bible college for 2 years. He found out that the church had a real need for heating and air conditioning work. They spend a ton of money around these facilities working on heating and air conditioning. He found out that he could go to Elgin Community College, study heating and air conditioning, get to be a certified technician, and that way he'd be a better maintenance person at the church. So in another month or two, he's going to finish his heating air conditioning work. He's serving the Lord. He goes to church. He found God's mate for his life. He never called to preach, but he's met the minimum daily requirements. I hope that's a help to you. I really don't have anything more to say than that. Went long enough. Why don't we bow your heads and close your eyes? I have no idea where God might have used something in that to speak to your heart, but I feel like we ought to have a brief invitation. If God spoke to your heart, best thing to do would be respond and talk to him about whatever he showed you need to do.